And welcome to the Rotor Report. And joining me once again, my former radio partner from Reg Eye and Roto, a little R&R in the evening for you here again, Michael Reg Eye joining me. And Reg, what a day around the NBA today. I had to get you on to do a conference call slash podcast with me here tonight because you and I love the NBA. It's what we really get into, especially this time of year. But this was bigger than the games, more important than sports. This was a social, everybody talking about it type thing, and I was curious to get your reaction to the way Adam Silver, in only his third month on the job as commissioner, handled this whole Donald Sterling thing.
Kenny, it was very compelling on so many fronts and for so many reasons, and you're absolutely right. This transcends basketball. This is something that I feel is going to have large ramifications going forward for not just sports, but I think workplaces in general with regard to professional endeavors and people's careers and just day-to-day living, because Adam Silver really did. He dropped the big anvil on Donald Sterling. I mean, there's no question about that. And I think as we've all probably seen and heard as the day is going on, it has been met with nothing but loud applause, and everyone, virtually everyone, letting Adam Silver know that he acted swiftly, he acted decisively, and Kenny, he acted in a way that I think let everyone know that this, any type of insidious, very damning thing to do with race, at least in the NBA, is not going to be tolerated. And he did that. And wow, the owners, this vote will be public, it's I would think it's almost going to be a 100% from the NBA Board of Governors that, Donald Sterling is ousted from his ownership of the LA Clippers.
Yeah, Adam Silver today announcing that Donald Sterling banned for life from the Clippers and the NBA, fined the maximum fine. They could give him $2.5 million. And then Adam Silver asking that the Board of Governors be able to exercise its authority to force a sale of the team. The owners needs, what, a three-quarters vote, Reds, right, for the ownership group?
Right.
Oust him. And will you be surprised if it's not unanimous? And if not, will those owners who vote against it want their vote to be known, or will that they keep that silent?
No, it's going to have to be made public. You know that, Kenny. And if it comes up anything other than 29-0, Ken, I don't know about you, but I think an owner that would vote to keep him empowered, that's right, like committing professional suicide. I mean, look at how your organization is going to be viewed. You know, whether it's true or not, you know what the perception is going to be, right? The perception is going to be that you condone that as an owner, and that maybe, and I guarantee, Kenny, if their organization, if there was an owner that voted to keep him in power, I mean, that organization would be immediately looked into, from stem to stern. So I can't imagine it being anything but unanimous.
Do you think that Donald Sterling, though, is going to go down quietly, go down without a fight, or do you think there's no way in his mind that he's going to sell this basketball team and he's going to battle these guys to the bitter end?
Kenny, that's a real interesting question. You would think that maybe on the advice of his battery of lawyers that he would just quietly, what is he, in his early 80s, I believe? Would ask him to just, but boy, Kenny, these men didn't make their megazillions on being shrinking violets, did
right.
they?
That's why I asked the question, Red. This is a stubborn man. This is in my opinion, a sick man with the way he thinks of other human beings. And this is a guy that, based on his past track record, he's been able to, state the consequences, if you will, because this isn't the first time him right. being a racist. It's been brought up. There have been lawsuits. There have been other battles. So, and he's always won. And I think, Reg, and you know this, you were around the league a lot closer to these teams than I was for all the years you did the play-by-play. Everybody talked quietly about him. They knew the type of person he was, but there was nothing really there for them to, get him on. Well, now there no. is, so it isn't surprising, but this is a guy that thinks that he's above everybody else.
Yeah. Well, no, you make a very interesting point, and I think of Elgin Baylor, Kenny, because someone that, we both, I was a little guy, but I do remember, watching Elgin Baylor play as a little fella, and then remember him for all those years as the GM of the Clippers and bearing the brunt of a lot of, Sterling outrages and tirades. And they were the laughing stock of professional sports, the Clipper organization, as we know. But Ken, back to your question, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe, and I started to take a look at this on Sunday, in the state of California, it's against the law. It ranges from a misdemeanor all the way up to a felony to tape a private conversation without consent.
Right. I've heard the same thing, Reg. I met with a buddy of mine who has a law background yesterday. He brought that up as well. So
is that the angle it takes?
You wonder, did he know this was being recorded?
Wow.
And with the way that Adam Silver responded, like we said, he responded quickly, and I think he responded the right way. So it'll be interesting to see if that comes up and if indeed they will, state that he did not know, or if he did know, then he's dumber than we thought he was.
Well, yeah, if he did know, then, like I said, there's a difference between had he done this, had he been interviewed by anybody, be it broadcast, print, whatever, or if he was sitting down for an interview and said these things, that's one thing, obviously. The utter stupidity and of a guy who thinks he's above everything. Oh, and I just wonder if that's the card he'll play, though, Ken, because it is either a misdemeanor or a felony. If he and his lawyers, claim that they had no idea they were being taped, this conversation
right.
was in the privacy. Although if you recall, Ken, Adam Silver was asked that today, and he just said, to me, it doesn't matter, because he now, those comments and those feelings
already
and those
public.
Thoughts are now public.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's why when asked that, that's why Silver said, no, this is, we can't have this in our league because they're public. This is the way he feels. He admitted that was his voice on that tape. So I don't know if that'll help him in the NBA. I think that, it'd be best for him to just go away. But civil suits, Kenny, in the state of California, I think possibly he could go down that road.
So what do they do with the Clippers? Does the NBA then take over, Reg? If he's forced to sell, does he try and keep it within the family? And he, just steps aside, or does he sell and get the $600-800 million he's going to get and just move on and be totally done with the NBA? How do you think the sale, if indeed, he is forced out, how do you think this will be handled?
Yeah, that too is going to be very compelling. I think, and this is so early, right, in the day with regard to this, in talking to some people around the league today, they seem to feel that that's going to be one of his ploys, so to speak. He's going to try to keep it in his family. Now, I he has to step down, but
right.
it stays within the Sterling family. I don't know. And again, that'd have to be up to approval with the NBA Board of Governors, and I don't see how that is going to fly. I mean, this is something that is going to have big ramifications forever. And how do you come off the heels of that, this type of decision by the commissioner, and then allow it to be sold within the confines of the Sterling family? So And then you can say, well, even though he wouldn't be visible, then he's still in control, isn't he?
Right.
Or
right.
He could and be. I mean, even though he's just not visible. That's all.
You're controlling the strings from a distance. And
exactly.
Still, you know, have a say in what goes on. So that, and from listening to Adam Silver today, it sounded like he wanted Donald Sterling to have nothing to do. I mean, he mentioned he's not allowed at games. He's not allowed at board of governors meetings.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to have anything to do with the Clippers or the NBA, period. And so that's why I can't see the NBA settling for Sterling, maybe passing this off to somebody in his family and then sitting there and, you know, being able to control things from a distance. And some people are upset that if he does sell, though, he's going to make $800 million. Well, you know what?
There you go.
In this country, he bought them for $15, $20 million. He has the right to sell and make his money, but the NBA is better off without him in it. So what if he gets that money? Fine. Let him take his money and take his racist ass the hell out of the NBA and never be heard from again.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I wouldn't worry about, you know, look, listen, he's a capitalist, right? I mean, that's exactly how, and again, he's been in the league for 30. I believe he bought him, is $12.5 million sound right, back in the early 80s?
So around 15.
Okay.
But think about it, right? $15 million up to maybe $800 million. Yeah. Buy low, sell high. He may be forced to sell. He's going to make a boatload of money.
I wouldn't. I concur with you. I wouldn't get too worried about. You know, listen. That's capitalism, business in America, and that you can't do anything about. And if I'm his legal battery, I'm telling, look, Donald, you had a good run, man. You know, you're going to make all of this money, and it's time for you to call it a day and take your money and, you know, finish out.
You're
81
years
life.
Old. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy
exactly.
it. Retire.
I guess buy your girlfriend's more Bentleys and Ferraris.
Yeah.
buy your girlfriend's
right.
more Bentleys, Ferraris, and big diamonds.
Yeah, and you know what? She's not all clear she's a piece of work too, and I don't know what's going to happen with her, because Reg, when I went and listened to 9 minutes of this. Okay, it was bizarre. It was surreal. It was almost like it was scripted. Was he drunk? I mean, you listen to it. Can he really be saying that? Is she, you know, setting him up? You hear, and some of these things go through your heads, and you wonder. All right, you know, what the hell is going on here? Is he just that stupid, or is he just that much of a racist and a bigot? He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Yeah. I think that probably is, I feel he genuine. Again, we don't know, but I think that's genuinely how he is. You know, he's like, if I'm going to parade your little butt courtside, I don't want you taking pictures with African Americans.
Right.
I mean, imagine how absolutely, as you said, I mean, almost to the point of being surreal and sick, that is, that
right.
there's a chance that you may have those thoughts be made public is just mind-boggling in itself. But as I said, Ken, I do think that they're going to go after her and go after her in a pretty big way, at least from a, you know, civil suit punitive side, that's the way they gain, I guess, other than the sale of the team potentially, but that's where they gain some sort of satisfaction out of this, because, you know, she's kind of left herself wide open for that.
Reg, do you think this could have a positive effect on the league in a number of ways? Obviously bringing this to the forefront and bringing people together, but also we've heard so much in sports over the last year and a half about the N-word. Do you think this might have a positive effect in understanding that, okay, you just dealt with a racist and a bigot in Donald Sterling, and hearing, you know, how appalled people were with what he said, and the N-word that was being used, we dealt with it in football last year, and you hear it on a regular basis in locker rooms and everything like that. Do you think this could curb some of that and maybe have a positive effect that way?
You would hope so, Kenny.
Yeah, me too.
I think this sends a clear message that, you know, hate bashing of any ethnicity, of any racial group, is not going to be tolerated. And if you do it and you decide to continue with the ethnic jokes and the boy talk, if you will, and you and I, you and I know how it goes in locker rooms. And I think if people don't pause and listen, Kenny, there's other bigots and racists out there. Okay, we can agree on that. They're
yes,
out there,
oh, absolutely,
in professional sports.
Yeah.
They just haven't been uncovered yet.
Right.
And I guess if this isn't a big warning to all of those that like to use the type of language you were talking about and make the kind of jokes that you were referencing with regard to race, ethnicity, color, religion, man, you're up for public scrutiny now, and it may cost you a hell of a lot if you decide to continue to go down that road. So we're going to see. But don't think for a moment that there is Donald Sterling is the only one that walks around every day with inflammatory and, as I said, insidious racial comments that they just spew out. Sterling got caught. We'll see if people that kind of do the same thing now take a big step back and say, I got way too much to lose for this.
What about the players themselves, Reg, in tossing around the N-word like it's no big deal and it's okay for them? Do you think it'll have an effect, on the players in cutting back on the use of the N-word amongst themselves?
I hope so, Kenny. However, I think that's a little bit still going to be a little bit more difficult road to travel, so to speak.
Yeah,
it's just so prevalent. It's just so prevalent among players, and it's so prevalent that I just don't know. It seems to be just so ingrained as a part of. And then I'm afraid too, Kenny, to be real honest about it, that let's say men, women, whomever were called on the carpet for this, right? Let's say they were. I think they kind of rebel against it and say, that's confines of our locker room. That's what we do. Well, you know, but no, that shouldn't be what you do.
Right.
But Kenny, I think with when you refer to locker room banter and kind of the everyday usage at, around teams, games, practices, boy, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it does do some correcting of this type of thought. But I don't know. I don't know about that one. I think that one's going to be. How do you feel about it?
I'm hoping it might be slower to come by. It might be, but I'm hoping even if it's a little bit of an effect, Reg, it's a positive. Okay, so I'm hoping it does have some after what happened with Riley Cooper in the NFL. Now this in the NBA, and we hear, you know, how upset African Americans get with the racial issues like this. And a lot of people say, well, you know, they're to blame for some of it because they use the N-word, you and me using, just a common phrase each and every day talking about, our families and everything along those lines. So I'm hoping in the long run that this will have a positive effect, not only from a racist standpoint and people being careful with what they say, who they say, and maybe changing their views on things, as well as the players not dropping the N-bomb as much and not thinking anything of it when it is offensive if used by a white person as opposed to an African-American person.
Yeah,
so
let's hope we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, real quick, before I let you go here, after what you've seen so far in the playoffs, and now that we can talk maybe a little here about actual on-the-court stuff, is anybody going to beat the Miami Heat from what you've seen so far in the playoffs?
Dallas is playing San Antonio tough, but if they get through, which is a big if, I still feel San Antonio would have the best shot, Kenny. I think we can agree, had him beat last year and gagged it away, and most uncharacteristic of the San Antonio Spurs, but it goes to show you it happens. But Ken, the last time you and I got together was 2 weeks ago tomorrow at Quicken Loans Arena following the end of the Cavaliers season. And Kenny, we touched on it then. Think about it. After what you're seeing right now from the Washington Wizards, the Toronto Raptors. And I know, you know, the Charlotte Bobcats got bounced and they didn't have Al Jefferson. But, Kenny, I'm more disappointed now in the Cavaliers, if that's possible, because, again, you know, and you and I had a lot of fun, you know, you with your with that if and, and you know, and the lottery and everything. And you and I had a lot of fun with that on our show. But, Kenny, you know, I look at the Washington Wizards and I look at the Toronto Raptors. And, you know, yeah, John Wall, Bradley Beal, fantastic. But, Kenny, what is it that's made the Washington Wizards? Well, those two are terrific young talents, but it's acquiring Nene. It's acquiring Trevor Ariza. It's acquiring Marcin Gortat. That's what put the Wizards over the top. And as you know, these are the things that I was trying to, you know, listen, you got to go get. Just picking top five every year isn't going to get it done. You got to go get those kind of guys. Ernie Grunfeld in Washington realized it. Even they realized it in Toronto when they went out and got, what, Kyle Lowry and Gravis Vasquez and players like that, Amir Johnson. Okay, they're not megastars. I'm not trying to but you got to have some guys and veterans that have been around it a little bit to blend in with your lottery picks that are hopefully on the rise. And I think Washington is just should be a blueprint now of how a terrible franchise can turn around if you do it the right way.
Reg, they put the pieces parts together. They didn't go out and get two ball-dominant guards in Kyrie Irving and Deion Waiters. They got a point guard in Wall. They found them a shooting guard. Then they went and got a beast on the inside, you know, in Nene. Got a center in Gortat, then brought in that long, small forward who can shoot the three and defend. They went out, they picked each part of the puzzle and put it together, and here they are advancing to the second round. Toronto, same thing with Valanciunas in the draft, Terrence Ross, you know, in the draft, and then
DeRozan.
You look at, and everything that they've done to put in, then they made the big trade getting rid of Rudy Gay, and everybody questioned that, and it's worked to their advantage. So those are two teams that made moves that proved to be the right moves, whereas Chris Granton, this is why he's probably no longer here, went out and made moves, and they were the wrong moves, and the Cavaliers are still trying to dig out of that hole.
Yeah, and okay, so this year they finally, in year four, yes, they went out and, you know, got Lou Dang and Spencer Hawes. I doubt Dang's going to be here going forward. They took a shot at it, and, you know, he's on the downside of his career. Spencer Hawes, you know, you would hope they keep him, and they're hoping they're able to work out a contract and sign him. You know, I'm hearing he's a West Coast guy, if he gets the same kind of offer, may want to go back there. I would imagine he's going to get, you know, other offers, so we'll see where that goes. But, boy, you know, there's going to be another lottery pick this year, Kenny. But again, I would hope the Cavaliers see, and even the Phoenix Suns, who came up short. But, Kenny, they won 47 games. They went from a 20-win team to a 47-win team, and what did they do? I mean, you know, the same thing. They had the young players, but, you know, they went out and brought in a couple of key acquisitions to try to make them whole, and they took that big jump under Jeff Hornacek. So it can be done, right? We know that. It can be done, but you got to roll up your sleeves and look at the composition of your roster and go out and be bold and make those kind of moves and get it done. I mean, it's year five next year now. I mean, come on. We just spent 10 minutes pointing out why it shouldn't take that long.
If you have the right talent evaluator, you can get it done, and it's been proven. We have to see if they're you know, what the Cavaliers are going to do with that as far as the GM and president and who they have, you know, making those decisions.
Well, what do you think? I mean, is David Griffin going to be the guy? I saw you were down there the other day, and
it sounded to me, Reds, like he thinks he's coming back and he wants to be here. That's the impression. I had the impression that he felt confident about his standing with the Cavaliers before that press conference, and after hearing him talk and the questions that I asked him, he felt even more confident at that press conference. I think he'll be surprised, maybe even shocked, if he's not retained as the GM. Now, will there be somebody over top of him that he might have to answer to as a president of basketball ops. You told me, you know, you mentioned the name George Karl. We've heard Dumars and Isaiah. Those, maybe they bring in somebody like that as well. But I'll be surprised, and I think David Griffin will be too, if he's not the GM of this team.
Yeah, okay, makes sense, because I do know this, again, from it sounds like, and that if Dan Gilbert doesn't retain David Griffin, he is not going to be out of work for too long. Steve Kerr is more than likely going to be named the head coach of the New York Knicks by Phil Jackson. And, yep. You know, I've been told by a pretty good Phoenix source that if Kerr gets that job, first thing he's going to do is asked David Griffin to come with him, because Griffin was his assistant GM for 3 years in Phoenix. And I think, you know, they won 47 games, 54 games, 56 games when they were together. So he won't be out of a job too long if Dan Gilbert doesn't keep him here in Cleveland.
Well, that's why it wouldn't surprise me if Dan steps up before that becomes official with the New York Knicks and announces that David Griffin will be the GM, therefore taking that off the table, and they won't have to worry about it. The longer it goes without him being named as the Cavs GM, then there's a better chance, what you just pointed out, indeed, with Steve Kerr, it sounds like you're going to be the next coach of the Knicks. That could happen with Griffin headed there as well.
Well, I got to ask you, Mr. Abbiff.
So, yes.
Who do you want? I mean, I'll be, Kenny, I haven't even, now I know who, you know, I know it's all the underclassmen coming in, but I mean, I haven't looked at other teams' needs yet. Or, you know, the whole thing that you and I would do as we were doing our shows for the last 4 years now. So, I mean, is there anybody, well, let's say the Cavaliers, what, 8, 9, 10, probably somewhere in that area. If that's where they fall, which I would think they probably are, I mean, is there anybody that you believe that could come in and at least, you know, be a contributor to maybe help this team a little bit? Because we found out there are no franchise saviors running around that you call their name on draft night. Those are very few and far between.
At 8, 9, well, let's see, 9, 10, 11, and 12, that's where they, you know, they
that's where you're
on.
Right. That's where it would be. Or
yeah,
all the way up to 3, right?
Or move up 1, 2, or 3. So they'll pick 1, 2, or 3, or 9, 10, 11, or 12. So that's the spot. If they can get up to 1, 2, or 3, then any one of Wiggins, Parker, or Embiid, I'm thrilled, because those, I think, are going to be impactful players for you. Right away. I believe you can plug any one of those three into your starting lineup if you're the Cavaliers, if you're lucky enough to get up that high. If you're stuck down at 9, 10, 11, and 12, then after about 7, Reg, it starts to drop off. You know, the Aaron Gordons, the Julius Randles, the Noel Vonleh's from, you know, Indiana. I'm hoping maybe he falls, because I like his game and what I saw out of him this year. But I'm not enthralled with Gary Harris or Tyler Ennis. Marcus Smart, do you need another ball-dominant guard like Marcus Smart on this team?
No.
The thing that excited me, though, was what I heard from David Griffin in the press conference, in that he would be willing to trade number 9 if were to get a player to help his team immediately. So that if they're stuck at 9, I would rather trade that pick and package it with another player to try and get an impactful player already from the NBA, as opposed to picking at number 9.
Love hearing that, because, again, that's why I brought up the Wizards situation and the Raptors situation, because that's what they've done. They've added those kind of players. I'd trade a number 9 in a minute if I could get, you know, a Nene or a Marchand Gortat or a Trevor Ariza. Absolutely, because those type of pros are going to help you a lot more, or hopefully help to get this team back in the right stead. I do like the first two names out of your mouth, though. I do like a lot, and I like their, you know, in the tournament, it looked like they were guys that aren't going to take long to adapt their game to the NBA, and that's Aaron Gordon and Julius Randle. I like those two kids a lot.
I'm not saying they're franchise changers,
right? But I think they come in and help you and play position. Randle, I think, you know, he's got a chance to be Zach Randle, that type of player, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and maybe one of those two will fall down to 9. I doubt it,
maybe.
But maybe they get lucky You've got to be like the Spurs, right? You've got to be able to find that diamond in the rough, like a Kawhi Leonard, and make a move or something to get that guy, or trade the pick for an already established player. So we'll see what happens when the ping pong balls are bouncing around, and if Nick Gilbert has any more luck left in that bow tie to help the Cavaliers get into the top three. If so, that'll be quite a feat, and I'll take him to the casino, his dad's casino, then the next time I see him, and have him play some bets for me down there. So, hey, Reg, always a pleasure catching up with you, man. Let's do this again as we get maybe into the conference finals and see where we're at there, and also maybe we'll know exactly where the Cavaliers will be picking in the draft, too.
Yeah, Kenny, I love it, and maybe Brown's draft time, too, which is going to be rather intriguing, I think, as that plays out. So, yeah, anytime, love it, and, we get these opportunities to continue to do our thing together. It's always good.
Always fun, Reg. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. There it is, a little R&R for you, talking some NBA hoops here on KennyRota.com. Hope you enjoyed it, and as always, C-Town, keep it real.